It's worthless. And if we look at a mirror, turn away from the mirror and forget what we just saw, how can we build? If we hear the word of God and don't do the word of God, we're like a foolish man who builds on sand. And when the storms, the trials, the circumstances come, how great a loss is that house. But those who hear the word and do it, how strong and mighty are the people of God that call to that place. And he's called us today to be his warriors, right?
Yes.
So have you failed recently? All right, there's a few people out there. God's not done with you, but that shouldn't discourage you. It doesn't discourage me because I know that my salvation does not come from this flesh. It comes from the Spirit. And what he is doing in my life, he isn't going to give up in doing. When he prays, his prayers are answered. I like your prayers, but I'm not sure all of your prayers are answered. But I know that the one who prays for me in heaven, that is only our Lord Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, the one who is our high priest, when he prays for us, man, it's going to be answered. And it's going to bring life, not only to you. See, that's where we stop most of the time. Oh, I'm just filled with the Spirit now. I'm just so blessed. But not only to you, but everybody around you.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, even when you don't want it to. So this is mine. I'm not sharing it. Looking out for number one. Well, that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, how can you have a flame and put it under a basket and expect it not to catch fire? He didn't say that in those words. But you can't do it. You're not even allowed to. So wonders of God are awesome and mighty. No matter what you went through today, maybe you had an argument. Maybe you lost your temper. Maybe you were just so fed up with what's going on politically. I don't know what the problem is, but all of those things fit. But we are called to an adventure with the Lord. As Bruce was describing his soul journey through his life, it's our lives are full of adventures. They're not full of grief and circumstances and dealings. Those are all words we use when we share our what God's doing in our life. But it's really an adventure.
Right.
He isn't testing you to see if you're going to fail. He's testing you to just prove that you're going to pass. You see, my 8th grade teacher was saying, I don't know what he's going to get. He's going to make 70 or not, because that was a cutoff point. Maybe he'll just be a D- this semester. Well, you know, that's not God's heart at all. Take that whole marking system and throw it away. Sorry, teachers. Just throw it away. Because no matter where you start from, the Lord isn't going to give up on you. Cheryl's always quoting Leo the Late Bloomer or something like that. So it's a book she reads to the kids. You know, everybody has seasons that they go through, even me. The elders don't always have it together. I know it's hard for you to believe, but it's true. Even me. How can you say that? So our journey is just an adventure with the Lord, a wonderful adventure, full of life, not death, full of life, full of the joy of the Lord. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Full of joy. Oh, wow. We should be, You know where worship comes? You come here and you're criticizing. I know what you guys do, because I do it too. Criticize. Oh, how was the worship today?
Excellent.
I couldn't hear. Thank you. I couldn't hear so-and-so on the microphone. Or the guitar was too loud, too soft, whatever. And so-and-so wasn't singing. And I just wasn't God. Well, you know where worship doesn't come from outside?
Yes.
Right, Wayne? Yeah. That doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside and goes out. You know, it used to be that in St. James, you guys remember, who remembers St. James when we used to meet there, right? It was great. Fill that place up, 350 or more people, sometimes a lot of people. from different churches, and you know, we get a guest speaker come in. It didn't matter who it was, but when a guest speaker came in, we knew God was going to bless. And so we were ready to worship the Lord. The first note that came out of that guitar, the first drum, we were worshiping the Lord our God with all of our heart and mind. And it didn't matter what was going to happen. We had prepared ourselves, hadn't we?
Yeah.
We had prepared ourselves for what God is going to do. Well, you know, every day is like that for us. Not just when the special speaker shows up. We have a special speaker today. His name is Jesus. It's not us. When we share in body ministry, it's a wonderful thing. This didn't happen for centuries. What we're seeing here today, they would like be bubbled over with excitement. Not just excitement, they'd be ionized with excitement. Beyond excited. They would say, oh my goodness, look what's happening. Look at, can you imagine Peter seeing this today? Could the Apostle Peter? Can you imagine James looking out and saying, whoa, this is what we started? Well, not you personally, but this is what we're part of. You know, I don't know how many people have been watching The Chosen. I mean, let's see some hands. So few. It's really a great representation of the characters of the New Testament. And it doesn't really represent the factual process of the scripture, but there's something in the character of the early Christians that it does absolutely nail. And one of the things that they were was excited for what Jesus was doing on this earth. And they had no idea this was going to happen centuries later. No idea. They said, yeah, many of us are not going to make it. You know, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be martyred. It's like so many things are going to happen. But they didn't rob them of their joy. When Jesus laid his hand upon them to greet them with a hug, it was a holy hug. And it imparted life. Even his casual touch, even if you accidentally touched the hem of his garment, something happened. Well, so it should be for us, the people that just touch our life. They're like, what is going on? This guy that comes up here with his white jacket this morning, who's he? The Blob Bruce, he calls himself. No, he isn't. He's a son of the living God. A brother in the Lord, just like you are brothers and sisters of God, called to a mighty work, which is the kingdom of God. You weren't called to be Democrats or Republicans. Sorry, you weren't. You weren't even called to be Americans, although you call yourself Americans. You're called to be Christians. In the midst of whatever world you find yourself in a prison, you're still the same person. In total, complete freedom, you're still the same person. It says in Numbers 6:26, for this reason, by the way, lift up your countenance, you saints of God. We need to hear that word, and we need to speak it into our life. If you're downcast, looking for, you know, the worms in the ground, good for you, but I'm going to lift up my countenance to the Lord. Because we have a destiny in the Lord. In Romans 8:29, it says that whom he did foreknow, he did predestined to become conformed into his image. What a wonderful calling we have in the Lord. I'd like to go to Psalm 4, if you turn there with me. There's a word here that really is, which verse it is, let's see, maybe it's down a ways, but I'll get there in a minute. The word says, who will show us any good? You know, during the last elections, you might have been a Republican or a conservative or a Democrat, but you were looking for someone who would do some good and was doing good, maybe, in your estimation. And this psalm says, who will show us? Who do we have? And that's almost like a downcast thing. It's like, look around. There's just nobody good. And the devil doesn't have to look too far. He just looks into you and says, oh, what are you? Just a blob. But Jesus doesn't call you blob.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, Gideon, thou man of valor, mighty warrior. Was he a man of valor, a mighty warrior? He was the least in his tribe. Was he a warrior in any way, shape, or form? He probably didn't even know how to pick up a sword. He was crushing grapes before the enemy came so he could have at least some wine. Maybe to get drunk and drown his sorrows. And the angel shows up and says, oh, that is not who you are. That is not who you are. That isn't your destiny. Gideon. Why did God choose Gideon? Why did God choose you? Well, in the beginning of that psalm, let's start. Answer me when I call, O God of righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. So you know where to pray, don't you? Everybody here, I know, knows this. We call upon the name of the Lord. When things get really bad, there are very few atheists in the plane as it's diving its last breath. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. He's calling for grace and mercy, isn't he? O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Whoa, let's take that one to the streets of Washington, D.C. right now. You know who quoted that recently? Marco Rubio, senator, because he knows the company that he keeps, and there are none good. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. I want to hear an amen from that one. And a godly woman. Amen. That's who you are. You want to know who you are? That's who you are. How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Really? I don't think I was that bad. Oh, yes, you were. You just didn't know. And the more we grow in the Lord, the more we know how deceived we really were. Oh, yes. You know, I used to drive around in a Corvette 427. It wasn't mine, but I loved it. I had a real deep love for that car. Even when I just started it up in the parking lot. The car was so powerful, it would bend push rods. Shouldn't have been allowed on the road. But you know what? I don't even care at all about Corvettes or Porsche, whatever exotica cars you might think of. They're far from my heart. They're not there. They've been circumcised out. Because I fell in love with something else. Yeah. And it is someone else. A city not built with hands is his kingdom. Amen? But I know that the Lord has set him apart, a godly man for himself, that he who hears, the Lord hears when I call to him. We know that. Every one of us has made a testimony to that degree. In one way, shape, or form. That's why we have home group, to have those kinds of testimonies fill our ears so that we're not alone in this. We're in this together. Tremble and do not sin. That is, there is the fearsome, awesome power of God before you. Would you not fear? Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. You have all these things going through your brain. You need to stop it and listen to God. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Okay, I'll try. Well, you can't do it on your own, can you? No, you can't. You know what I do? I get up sometimes. If I can't do that, I'll get up and just start praying for people I know. I'll start praying for you. I have a list. Most everybody has a Christmas card list, but I have a prayer list that I have. I think you'd rather be on my prayer list than my Christmas card list. I think I sent out 3 cards last year. That's why. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Yes, Lord Jesus. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. What are those sacrifices? Are they religious things? No. Or is a list, you can make up a list of things you should do or not do. Is it that? No. And then he says, what's really in his heart. Who will show us any good? What's good anyway? Isn't that what you hear when you start to witness about the Lord? They say, who's good anyway? What are you talking about? Even the Lord Jesus, they said, you're good. He said, no. There's no one good, because he was still man and God at the same time. There would be a time when he had his glorified body and he would be resurrected from the dead, and you can be sure that he was good and is good and always will be good. You know what I like about it? John says, behold the Lamb of God. And the Spirit said to John, you know, you will know that Lamb of God because the Spirit of God will descend upon him and remain. That same Spirit is yours today. That's why the apostles will look at you and just say, oh, man, we're not just excited. We're ionized. We're going to the next level of wonder of what God's doing. We're going to the next level of the excitement and adventure. Hold on. Because the enemy knows this too, and he will attack. And I've said this over and over again. The enemy's tricks are not new. They're all old. You cannot invent a new trick. But the Holy Spirit has a lot of tricks he hasn't even shared with him at all. And that's the Holy Ghost in you. He's never seen that. But when he does, he's going to be trembling in his boots. Then he says, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O God. Why? Because we just need it. That's what Frank was sharing with us on Friday. So we need his countenance to shine upon us. You have put gladness in my heart. Oh, let's stop there a minute and let it just do that. Yes. You want gladness? You want happiness? It's not going to come from the Constitution. It comes from God. Amen. Well, let me stop and say, I'm a constitutionalist. I love all that stuff. But I know where gladness comes from. And the freedom the Constitution gives us is so that we can apprehend that. And he says, that's the right, the inalienable, untakeawayable right that we have in God. Put gladness in my heart. Oh, yes, Lord, do it. I had a feeling that Carmen was doing some carpet time this morning, and that's exactly what he was doing. Is that right, Carmen? She was on the floor most of the time. More than, listen to this is really good. More than when their grain and their new wine abounded or abound. It's a great time when harvest comes in and new wine's there, all the grain's there. We have Thanksgiving. Isn't it wonderful? A great Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, but it's going to be more than that. What God's doing in our heart. Whoa, now I'm getting excited. Okay. And then, all right, this is your inheritance. You may not be there, but this is your inheritance. This is what you should pray for and expect God to do. I mean, if it's true in the Old Testament, it is certainly true in the New. It says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's your inheritance. Worried about your job? No problem. Worried about circumstances? No problem. Car keeps breaking down? No problem. Your septic tank needs to be flushed out? No problem. Homeowners understand that one. Frank was shared with me a couple times. I'll steal your testimony, Frank. He says, every time it stops raining for a while, I get nervous. My well goes dry. No problem. Amen? Now, we need, what is that all about? That is what God has for us, is a different life than the world. Our life is different than people in the world. That is, it describes what we are, how we live, moment to moment. That describes what all of theology does to us. That is the outcome of New Testament theology. That is the outcome of Jesus dying on the cross and sitting at the right hand of the Father after he was resurrected and sent the Holy Spirit at the beginning and the birth of the church. Our outcome is that things completely change. Now, the problem is, I love that song, "You Brought Me Out of Egypt. You Took Me by the Hand." And we now sometimes need help, don't we? The Holy Spirit and our brothers and sisters sometimes just have to take us by the hand and say, "Come on, I know. I used to smoke cigarettes too. Come on, I know. I used to have anger management issues too. Come on, I know. I used to overeat all the time." And they take you by the hand and lead you into another room, the room of his provision. Now, when we get there, we need to have different eyes to see with. Because we've been used to looking at things of Egypt too long. Remember what the Lord said to David? "Well, I wish I'm paraphrasing. I wish you could build a temple, but you can't. You have too much blood on your sword to be able to do that. You've seen too much death." I can tell you that when you see death, it does affect you. Although, even if you didn't want it to, it does. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard Bill Radcliffe tell the story, but, you know, he went to IBM and was interviewing for the job. And they say, "Well, Bill, what are you good at?" And he said, "I was really good at killing people." And then later on in the eldership, he told us what that meant. He knew all the tricks on how to get the Chinese to come out of their little foxholes and tunnels. He knew all those things. He knew how to kill them. He knew how to kill people. You don't think that affected him? Years later, he cried before us because he wanted to be delivered from that. So we've been looking at Egypt too long. We are surrounded by advertising and by people in government that tell us all the wonders of Egypt and all the things it can do to us. And we need different eyes to see. Is that right? Now, I'll go back to John chapter 1, where Jesus calls Nathanael. And Nathanael was pretty impressed. Jesus saw him under the tree. He says, "I saw you before you even saw me. Isn't that great?" And Jesus answered and said, "Because I said these things, I saw you under the fig tree. You believe." It's like, that's a miracle. That's why he believed. There's no way Jesus could know that without being the Son of God. But he says to him, you will see greater things than these. How can that happen unless he has spiritual eyes and not natural eyes? Nathanael had no way for that to happen to him. And he said to him, "Most assuredly, Nathanael, I'll say this to you, hereafter," that is where we are today, "you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." You will have spiritual eyes to see what's going on. That's why I could tell you where Carmen was at this morning. She says, "Come on, come on." Yes, Lord. We see with spiritual eyes. It's a whole different thing when we see people in the supermarket. We see them in the gas station, and all you can see is all of the tattoos and piercings and all of the trappings of Egypt around them, even their style, their way of looking and walking and everything. And you can see with the eyes of the Spirit and say, that person is called to be a prophet. That person is called to be a prayer in the kingdom of God. I can see it through them. They can't see it. The enemy can't see it, but God can see those things. So I pray for them, and sometimes I have the opportunity to share with them. And it's interesting that there's already something that God's been working in their heart more times than not. Not all the times, but more times than not. That's my elevator story. As I get in the elevator, only four people allowed in the elevator now. That's pretty good, right? Little us four and no more. Here we are. And you look into their eyes and you see the desperation. Who is good? Who is good anyway? I have the opportunity to say, I know who is good. You know, my Lord and Savior is good. And I can say that in so many different ways. What a wonderful thing when God gives us spiritual eyes to walk in. I don't want to spend too much time in ministry today in the Word, but I do want to say a couple more things. It's because of that, the theology translated into the adventure of our life, that He has given us spiritual eyes, that He also gives us, and they are manifested as the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts, I'm always seemingly putting them down. It's the more important to have the fruit of the Spirit. True, but the gifts of the Spirit are there to really encourage us in the Lord. So as we come together, we all have a psalm, a doctrine, all those things to share. But the gifts of the Spirit are awesome. Paul said, I wish you all would prophesy. I love it when you sing in tongues, but I wish you all would prophesy. I wish there were much more manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. And when you pray, you're not just praying a natural prayer. You pray in the Spirit. You're prophetically proclaiming something before the heavens. And Dodie got up the other Sunday and was praying for her husband, and there was a prophetic process in that prayer that went right into my heart. I said, I want that sister to pray for me. Isn't that cool? What a privilege it is to come together this morning. But the spiritual gifts, let's turn to, well, you don't have to turn it, are listed in Acts chapter 2, 17. Also in Joel 2, 28, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, and this was Peter's first sermon, right? That I would pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. You know, people are going to be touched by the Spirit that had no clue it was coming. Oh, you know why I'm laughing? Yeah, that's me. I had no clue that it was coming. And then one Sunday morning, it was there. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Thank you, Jessica. Your young men shall see visions, and not visions of cars. Those visions will be gone. There'll be something else they have a vision for. Your old men shall dream dreams, and that's going to be about, let's just sit in a rocking chair on a front porch. Their dreams are going to be awesome about the structure of the church and how to build and encourage and do things that are beyond human understanding. Isn't that what the Lord did to Peter? He said, I'll give you a dream. He'll send you into a trance. You can see this giant sheet full of animals coming down. What kind of dream is that? Give me that dream. I'm just going to stop eating pizza. But your dreams will be opening up your heart to spiritual things, as it did in Peter's case. That dream probably would have meant nothing to me. Well, it would mean nothing to me. But there are dreams that I have that mean a lot to me. There was one sister I knew that everybody was criticizing. And I mean, everybody I talked to, she's not going to be long for the kingdom because she's just like, she's going down the wrong path. You know, she needs to have a come to Jesus meeting. You know, it's not going to work out for her. And that dream, I was praying for somebody to be raised from the dead. You can imagine me doing this, right? And it was like, I looked around in the room and I saw all these downcast faces, but her hand was raised up. She was the only one that had faith. And the Lord showed me in the Spirit and in a dream of her faith. And you know what? She's still following the Lord today. Wonderful Christian sister. Big family. What a testimony to the dreams in the Spirit. Amen? And on my maid sermons and men's servants and my maidservants, men and women. I'm glad you said that because in today's world, that would be so misinterpreted. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall, and the inference is all, prophesy. Because you are called to be a prophetic church, even if you never prophesy, thus saith the Lord, your prayers are going to be prophetic. Your life is going to be prophetic. Because of the righteousness that God has put in you. That's a prophecy and a testimony to the world of the nature of God and the love of God. What greater prophecy could there be? And those who prophesy know that that's true. What is the intent and the purpose of prophecy but to encourage, to strengthen, to undergird, to raise up to the next level of this, so they can see even better with spiritual eyes. So I don't put down the prophet says, thus saith the Lord is good, and you are coming to a new place in God, and you're going to see so many wonderful things happen. That sounds like a pretty shallow prophecy to me at the surface. But in a moment, I can say, no, that's not shallow at all. If that's all that happens, it's good enough. Yeah. Mm. People come away from a prophetic service and say, oh, and I'm really sad. That was a great service. You prophesied over so many people, but you didn't prophesy over me. No big deal. Jesus prophesies over you every day. Amen. And his prophecy is that you will become the men and women of God that he's called you to be. Mighty men, full of valor, not the least in the tribe, but the first. Amen? Amen. I hear that amen. God hears that amen, but there's another person who hears that amen too, the enemy. And what he has put in your heart will be tried and tested, not to see if you fail, but to prove you that the Spirit of God is real and not just something we dreamed up last night. Here's a word of caution, and this is my last point. The word of caution here is when we have the freedom in the Lord to do the things we have and do in home group and here on Friday night and Sundays, there's a price and a cost that we need to keep in mind, because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He isn't just Lord of Lords and King of Kings, because he isn't a Lord among Lords. He is the Lord. He's not King among Kings. He is the King. And all the other kings are not even kings when we talk about King Jesus. And all the other lords are not lords when we talk about Lord Jesus. He is from the beginning, John says. He was right there at the very birth of all things. It was his creative voice that was the word of God. That's what John chapter 1, verse 1 says. Theology. Oh, wonderful theology. Bring gladness in my heart. It's not the working of men, but it is the very voice of God that speaks his wonders upon the earth. And when we share, I really am cautioned in my spirit so that I don't want to come up and pray for somebody if it's just me. I want to hear the voice of God. I know a lot of times it is just me. I'm not condemned by that. But what we have learned in our assembly, and a lot of assemblies don't have this, but what we learned in our assembly is that we need to be accountable. This is my caution. We need to be correctable, teachable, etc., etc. Me too. I can tell you that I love these guys that shepherd me in the elders' meeting, and I love you when you talk to me and correct me. But I love that because I don't want to be here all by myself, and God hasn't called me to be here all by myself, but he's called me accountable, correctable, teachable in all things. So we have this huge freedom, but we're still, and this is what Wayne was sharing the other day, but we're still bondservants of the Most High God, which brings the cost, so that we have to go to him in prayer even before we prophesy. We have to go to him and say, Lord, is this really you? Now, all of us are not accountable only to other persons that we're being knitted together with. We're accountable to the Lord primarily. Scripture says that all men and women are going to be accountable before the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that you can't come to the Lord at that time in the final judgment. You can't say it was Peter's fault. They never corrected me. Maybe they didn't see it. But it means that we have to have our eyes open. If all of us are, yet we're all called to give constructive criticism in love to our fellow brothers and sisters. That means we can't do that if we have our eyes closed. Remember Gideon's army? Kept calling them, and it got less and less and less. And the ones that he finally chose are the ones that had their eyes open. Now, there's a place to have your eyes closed and worshiping the Lord. But if you're really called to discern what's going on in the service, look around. God is moving in your brothers and sisters. And it's an awesome thing to see. I'm going to pick on poor Carmen one more time. So Carmen's sitting there. I'm like, I can't even see her breathing. I had my eyes open. How do I know that? Because I had my eyes open. I said, I don't even see her breathing. Maybe God took her. She's now in heaven. I said, I really should do something about this. He said, oh, Peter, just being paranoid. No, this is your responsibility to be aware of what's going on, just like Gideon's army. So I went over to Pat, who was doing her flag worship before God, and I said, Pat, on your way back to your chair, can you just check on Carmen for me? See, she's okay. Not just physically, because then Carmen was like moving her fingers. By the way, I love that. Please, just every once in a while move so I know you're not dying. So Pat went up and just, she looked up and she says, yeah, she's okay. Isn't that wonderful? What a privilege to be able to be with each other in such an intimate way and with the Lord in such an intimate way. And what an awesome responsibility it is for us when we say that we need to be accountable, correctable, and teachable, because that can be done so wrong. Has been done so wrong in the church. It brings tears to my heart and eyes when I think of all the things that I've seen in the past when people try to do correction and elders try to do correction. It doesn't work out very well because they don't know how to do it. And quite honestly, I don't really know how to do it except through the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I shared on last time was God bringing me into a greater understanding of some of the fruits of the Spirit, namely gentleness and kindness, which I thought, well, God wants to give it to me, fine. You see, there was some need for correction there, maybe. I had to be teachable, maybe. Yeah, so the one who is responsible for doing that the most is my wife. Thank you, Cheryl, for being faithful to God's word. Here's the scripture, just one of many, in 1 Corinthians 14:40. And it's not meant to condemn or restrict the freedom you have in God, but it says, let all things be done decently and in order. That doesn't mean that we put on our church vestments. It doesn't mean that we have to light the candles. Or Bruce is laughing because he knows what this means. It doesn't mean you have to go walking down the aisle and genuflect and do the sign of the cross or any of those things. But decently in order means we need to hear from the Holy Spirit, who is, if anybody is in order, it's Him. You know, I'm discipling an Episcopal pastor, of my home church, and she needs obviously a lot of help. Being a woman, I'm not sure that she's being washed by the water of the Word by her husband or not. I don't know that. But there's a lot of problems that can happen when women have authority over men that Scripture clearly says should not happen. But I'm encouraging her to pray this way, that the Lord would have His way in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And she is really on board with that. She may not be on board with all the New Testament doctrine that I have, theology, but whatever I can give her, whatever life I can give her, I will. I have that responsibility to her and to everybody that I know to impart to them what God has imparted to me. Impartation is a very powerful word. You know, the last episode of Chosen, it's called The Thunder. And the sons of thunder are James and John. And they wanted to call down fire from heaven. That was their gift to the body of Christ. And Jesus had to correct them. He said, but you know, that just, and after he did, they said, you know, it didn't sound so good the way you said it. Maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Maybe we should be praying. Maybe we should be encouraging. And they were talking to about in that particular episode about the Samaritans whom the Jews hated. So let's go to some scriptures in, lastly, to follow, to end up in Psalm 34. This is really good. I'll just be a few minutes. We'll start just before verse 15, I think 14. It says, depart from evil and do good. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that command. Seek peace and pursue it. Oh, I'm trying. This is nice. We know this is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, many things that they prayed for to happen happens to us routinely. So the eyes of my Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He's never going to be deaf to the prayers that come from your mouth. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, not you, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Oh, let that sink in. All the people think they're going to make the big time. Their memory will be erased from the face of this earth. You know, you can put your name on a CD and send it to the stars like people had on Voyager 3 or 2, whatever, I don't know, Voyager 2. And so their names are in gold, a gold CD disc. You can't even play a CD disc anymore. Where do you find them? It's like in outer space, probably not too many people would know or care. Cut off the memory of them from the earth, which is why we should be praying for them. Those who are evildoers, who like to kill children even before they're born, those who promote it are evildoers. They do evil by doing that. Well, we need to be praying for them earnestly because their memory of them will be cut off. The righteous cry and the Lord hears. I'd like to thank the Lord for that for a moment. And he delivers them out of all of their troubles. How many of them?
All.
I don't believe he would. Yes, he will. There's nothing too long for the arm of God. Nothing is out of his reach. It is not too weak that he can come forth with his right arm and destroy and build up whatever he wishes to destroy or build up. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. Amen. Your boss? School, job, whatever. The Lord is near. This scripture, actually, I have circled, bold, underlined. Because this expresses the heart of God so clearly. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And saves those who are crushed in spirit. Do you know some of them? I do. A brokenhearted person needs you, needs the Lord. Those who are crushed in spirit need you, need the Lord. Your prayers. Don't walk away from it. How dare you? Pray for them. It doesn't take very long. He wants you to pray for them. Many are the, here it comes. I was waiting for this. I knew it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I knew it. See, Christianity is just going to be in one trial, at one dealing of Christ after another. No, but the Lord delivers him out of them all, which is why their joy is never robbed from them. The enemy's task, scheme, is to rob you of your joy. But maybe because you have a temper tantrum, maybe because things didn't go well yesterday, maybe whatever, but you still have that joy. Many are the affliction, but it doesn't matter. The Lord delivers us out of them all. How many? All. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. We talk about that prophecy as Jesus is on the cross. None of his bones were broken. Yeah, but we also talk about the army of bones that God is raising up today. And he will not cause one of those bones to be broken. His army is going to be pretty true to the task that they're called to do. None of them is broken. So you are going to be standing in the space between the brokenhearted and God. And God wants you to bring them by the hand through prayer with spiritual eyes into the presence of God. Don't think your voice is not meaningful. Don't think your prayers are unheard. Come on, just don't think that. Not for a moment. And because they are heard, we need to be accountable, don't we? What if we did that and we weren't accountable? It wouldn't take long for us to drift. We're all like sheep, have wandered off and do what was right in our own eyes. Well, we have a better God than that now. He won't let us go. The Holy Spirit has come to be our teacher and our comforter, not just supernaturally, but in our brothers and sisters. Can I say that one again? Are you sure? You want me to say that? Yeah. Holy Spirit just doesn't comfort and correct, teach us supernaturally, but he does it through our brothers and sisters. He does it even from a sermon. No. Yeah, he does. So the evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness will be condemned. Boy, the way of the world is so far from what God is doing today. Now here's the scripture I want to leave you with. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. He buys them back. He has a special list for you, and it's not one of those who are condemned and have all kinds of problems in their life. It isn't dealing after dealing. He says, I will redeem the soul of my servants, you. And none, how many? None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. None of them, right, Peter? Is that a true statement? Condemnation is done. It is not your inheritance. The Holy Spirit does not come to condemn you, ever. Convict? Oh, yeah. Teach? Yeah. But that's why he's a comforter, too. So I know how hard this is for you to give up this part of you. You just died. Like it's like doing a brainectomy, you know? Whole part of you just died. You're going to need the comfort of the Holy Spirit when you're going through those kinds of times. Because as merciful as God is and as good a surgeon he is, death is still death. And your old man needs to still die, even though you buried it in the waters of baptism. You need to die to the deeds of the flesh. The power of this flesh is broken already in the waters of baptism. But the deeds of the flesh still want to hang on. The old man still wants to raise himself up and be king over you. He's not. So let's stand together and pray. Even at home, if you want to do this. Lord, we stand together knowing that we don't stand in our own strength. Whether it's standing before the gates of hell or the gates of heaven or in between, we can't do anything in our own strength that's eternal, especially those things which are eternal in our life. But we know that you've called each one of us to the church with a capital C, because the church is the bride of Christ. It isn't an institution. It's not a building. It's something we're called to that's not living. It is a living, breathing organism. The church we are called to. What a wonderful thing, oh God. And I pray, Lord God, that your church would wake up to the call, would hear the voice of our Master in such a loud, clear, and precise way that it would be like a surgical knife to come in and cut away the evil that's in the world. And each person that we minister to, we would see clearly in the Spirit, with discerning of the Spirit, the things that are there, and say, you know what? This needs to go. We're going to pray right now for this thing to go and never come back to you again. And replace it, Lord God, with a spirit of righteousness that we have not known before, yes, of love and tenderness and kindness that we have not known before. We always just thought it would be there, but it wasn't. It's something we need to put on, the righteousness of Christ. Lord, so I pray the church would wake up today. And I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts individually for that to happen. Amen. God bless you guys.